At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have a great episode for you this week. Christopher Mad Dog Russo, the Radio Hall of Famer from SiriusXM, fresh off a three-year contract extension with Sirius, is on the show covering a billion topics. I can't even begin to list them because there's so many. So if you're a fan of the doggy and his excitable personality, make sure you stick around and listen to Chris Russo right here, followed by Sal Licata and our weekly Train of Thoughts segment. Before we get to it, just a quick reminder, had an all Train of Thoughts episode last week for you right here on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Puck's John Oran was on the podcast 2 weeks ago. WWE CM Punk, Greg Olson from Fox, Noah Eagle, all recent guests. So if you missed any of those, check them out in the archives. Subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Leave a review on Apple. We'll read it on an upcoming episode. All right, let's get to it. The Mad Dog, Chris Russo, followed by Train of Thoughts and Sal Licata, all right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, his quarterly visit to the SI Media podcast, coming off big news, three-year contract extension with the great SiriusXM. He is the Radio Hall of Famer, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Doggy,
James, how are you today? Things good?
I'm good today. Yeah, things are good. I will say, this is only, I think in all the years I've done this podcast, this is only the second time I've ever taped one this early. It's only like three or four people I would do that for. So
I could have done it later for you, Jimmy. I would have.
It's all right. I'm still a little groggy, so I hope I'm on my game here.
Well, I'll judge it. Very good. How you doing? Things good?
I'm good. Yeah. I was going to ask you this. We can start with this before the cut. I don't know how you do a show 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, from the first to third week of August. There's just nothing going on.
Hard. I mean, I think that's the thing about sports talk. It's become such a football-centric thing. So, you know, once you get to September 1, you're okay into February. Right. But you're right. There are times in that calendar year, you know, February, nobody knows about the NCAA tournament. So it gives you content, but you're not going to get any calls on it because who knows anything about Coppin State. You know, the NBA does not generate the calls until deep into the playoffs. Nobody's going to call about a second round playoff series. The NHL is for the diehards in the postseason. You know that. Masters a couple days, you know, maybe a little. You know, maybe a tennis show once in a while, but for the most part, and the draft, the football, the NFL draft. But you're right. It's that 6 month period, I'll even break it down that way, is tricky. Now, we had a little break this year because I do think the Olympics gave us some content. So you did have a little couple week period there, 2.5 weeks, where you had something else to talk about besides, you know, breaking down Yankees and on the Orioles. So that helped a little bit. There's no question about it. But there are periods in the calendar year when you're doing a national show. Now, if you run locally in a big market, you got a baseball team that's pretty good. In New York, you got the two teams. That's a little different. But if you can't center in on, you know, the Met pitching scenario and baseball trading deadline and, you know, the Yankees and, you know, Judge and Soto, which you can't do nationally every day, it is tricky. No question.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's one of the things I like about your shows. You do the music, you'll do some movie stuff,
break it up,
do some politics, because it's not even, there's just nothing going on. Everyone's on vacation. It's, you know, what do you get? I understand people want to make things about training camp. Caleb Williams played well, but really, how long are you going to talk about that for?
I agree. I mentioned the quarterbacks. You know, Bo Nix played well. You mentioned William. Yeah. I guess Daniels was all right against the Jets. Yeah. But, yeah, I can't get too wrapped up in that. I'm 1,000% with you. Once you get essentially to, you know, once you get to another couple of weeks, you know, late August, you got the U.S. Open tennis.
Right.
A week away from the season. College football's got games on the 31st. We got Florida State in Miami. Miami in Florida, and you got Notre Dame, Texas A&M. So there are a couple of areas there. If you get by the next 2 weeks, you should be decent. But you're 100% right, Jimmy. 3 days, 5 days a week, 3 hours, 4 hours a day. The months between, mid-June and, say, September 1 are very, very tricky.
Yeah. No question. Once you get to the third – that third and last preseason game, then at least even if you want to get into the, you can start doing the over-unders, start doing some gambling stuff, get into who's, you know.
You got to make sure there's no big injuries, so you can't do them now.
Right, right, exactly. That's what I mean.
You can't do over-unders now. How about if a quarterback breaks, out for the year? So,
although
it's August, was it, the 13th? You still got another couple of weeks.
Although you put $10,000 on the Jets over 9.5.
I haven't done it yet because my buddy Fat Rob hasn't run out to Vegas, but... Yeah, I will definitely do that. I'm reading the Rodgers book right now, too. I'm just going to bet it on him. I think he's got to lose something to prove. I'm assuming he's going to be healthy. You never know. You know, he's 40 years old. And I just think he's got a little chip on his shoulder. And you know, when he's got a chip on his shoulder, if you read the Ian O'Connor book, you'll sense it. He seems to really he plays better. So I think everybody doubts whether he can recover, and the Jets have been bad, and he wasted a year being hurt and all the controversy. So I'm gambling on him to have a big year.
I like their over 9.5. I think that's that number seems low to me.
I agree.
Although I do think the one thing I have this preseason, I'm back on the Bills bandwagon. I think just getting rid of Stephon Diggs, it seems like, has made a big difference over there. So, I do think the Jets, the division with Buffalo, I think they're going to be a little better. But still, the Patriots stink, Miami.
And the Jets have an easy schedule, Jimmy. Their first four games, that's first tough game, that first one. But then Tennessee, Patriots, and Denver. I mean, two of them are home. I mean, they should go 3-1. And remember, Rodgers hates the 49ers because they didn't draft him with that first pick, and they drafted Alex Smith. So that's going to be a crusade on that Monday night in Week 1 out in San Francisco. They have a little something to prove. Maybe the Niners a little hangover. Ayuk, who knows? McCaffrey's not hasn't practiced. Who knows? Catch him a little rusty. So I think Rodgers is going to have a good year. And they have the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. Keep that in mind, too.
I will be joining you on their over 9.5. I will not I will not put 10,000 on it, though. Will you bet any other over-unders?
Oh, yes. I'll bet 4 or 5 of them. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I like Rams. Atlanta, they're hard to root for, but, their number is pretty low. I think the Bears could be good. I mean, they got a lot of weapons. I watched the first episode of Hard Knocks. It's 8.5, and it's a bad vig. I thought about them, and I got to come up with an under. But, as you said, you still got 3 weeks before you got to worry about it. So it's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's talk about Sirius XM. You signed a 3-year extension. Everything's sort of the same, except you can have a little more time off. Is that the deal, basically?
No, 2 things with Sirius. One, they gave me 10 weeks off. I have 6 now. So, I never use this year. I probably will, as I got college trips and I got to get my kid out to Loyola Marymount next week. So this year I will. But 9 times out of 10, I never even use all the vacation. I don't. I just do it and do the shows. So I'm going to try to program a schedule like Howard does, where he programs where he's a week off here, week off there, and try to get it spaced out from September 2nd to September 2nd. So I'm going to have to figure that out, and I'll do probably the week at a time. I will take off the second week in November. I'll go watch Northern Arizona. They play at Stanford and at Pacific. I'll go out there for the week. So I'll do that week. I've never taken a week off during the football season. That week I will. But, so they gave me a lot more time off. They've been very good to me for a long 14, 13 years. There was not any issues with it. First Take has helped because, obviously, there's good cross-promotion there. To me, it was a no-brainer. The vacation time, again, was a consideration. And I got to just maneuver with that vacation time. They certainly didn't cut my pay. So, I mean, you got to throw that into the mix too. So, overall, Andy Moss and the fellas today, I give them a lot of credit. They said, hey, listen, Chris, we still want you here. Let's see if we can make this work properly. We announced it on First Take, give them a little buzz with the First Take thing. Stephen A did me a favor. And we didn't really announce it on First Take. We sort of correlated with the press release, so it was equal, but. You know, it was something that I'm 64 years old. What am I going to do? I still got a kid in college. What am I going to do? Travel the world yet? I'm not quite ready to do that. So what the hell? We'll do 3 years.
Have you thought about what happens 3 years from now?
Yeah, I have. I'm going to be bored stiff. So that's another issue.
What do you mean you're gonna? Oh, because your kids are
So
gonna
I
be at
learned
it.
from Mike. I think my old partner. I think you know he may not admit it, but I think he maybe at the time retired a little too early too. Now once you retire, it's very difficult to come back from that. Well, I know I did it jokingly last year, but once you make it sort of quote unquote official, and then you're 63, 64, and then you realize, geez, I got kids in college, and I still do have the one. I still have my home base in Connecticut. What am I going to do? What am I going to go do? Go to Florida for 4 months? So you got to be careful because once you do officially, quote unquote, say I've had it, you really gotta you like to be you like to make that final. So you hesitate to say that quickly.
But there was a big
Mike did.
difference, though. There was a big difference, though, between you and Mike. Mike, this is just my opinions, and that door is Mike did not seem very happy doing shows for the last few years. I mean, I don't know if it was because he got so much shit on social media, prank calls, but he seemed very, very, very miserable the last few years. You still seem like you enjoy it. You still get fired up. You love doing your interviews. I don't see you ever giving up the radio, ever.
Really? Ever? That's
Yeah.
a strong word. Ever.
Well,
Wow.
because here's why. When something does happen in
Oh,
the
I love to
NFL,
be
see,
on. Oh, I love to be on.
there you go. That first time you're not on, you're gonna have a stroke.
I agree. I think you hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
Essentially, you got to deal with the routine of being on, but then you
Yeah.
have, as you said, you probably got what? Half a dozen shows, maybe a dozen shows during a year where. And I'm not counting football because that could add to it. But you get about a dozen shows a year where you're, geez, I can't wait to go on today. And you'd hate to give that up.
Yeah.
About 12 shows a year where there's a trade, there's a passing, West and Willie Mays.
Right.
There's a fight, there's a dispute. You mentioned Rodgers, a Super Bowl show, controversy with a call, Game 7 World Series. Those are the days you really get a kick out of doing a
Yep.
show. You can go on
Yep.
forever those days.
Look at Howard, 71, still doing it.
Yeah, but Howard, what does he do? About 100 shows a year, 112
Yeah,
shows
he
a year.
does them 3 days a week, and then I don't know what the vague. I mean,
Has he
that's
been
the one.
off? Has he been off all summer?
Yeah, he's off. He's off. He gets off from 4th of July to Labor Day.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah, he comes back the day after Labor Day.
I feel when you take that much time off and come back, sometimes it can be. Take you a little while to get back in the groove when you've taken
Yeah,
that much
yeah.
time off. I even this weekend I had a little golf tournament and I felt yesterday I was a little flat. I feel better today.
Right,
You
right.
hate to take that much time off and then get back in the routine
Right,
of doing it
right.
every day.
That's funny you say that. I actually have that myself because a lot of times in the summer, on the weekends, I'm not paying attention to sports. Like on Saturday, I was at the beach all day. Like I'm not paying attention. And then Monday morning comes, I got to write a column, and I don't know what I don't know what to write.
You got it. I know.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
thinking about that a lot yesterday. All right, what am I going to do now today? I had the Olympics, so I did not see the Olympic basketball game, the
Yeah,
final.
me.
Although,
I didn't watch any of the Olympics, so.
I did watch the semis when they almost lost to Serbia, and that game was a good game. I did not watch the final. I said, geez, I didn't watch that final. Followed it, got the scores, read the recount highlights, but I didn't see the game.
Yeah.
And I felt a little guilty about not seeing it. But again, I'm with the golf tournament with my kid. I'm not going to give that up because U.S. is going to kill France in a, at 3:30 on
Right.
a Saturday afternoon when the weather's nice.
Well, that's the I mean that's my whole thing. There were basically 4 Saturdays of the summer left. It was 90 degrees and sunny on Saturday after
After
about
terrible weather
87
last
days
week.
of rain in a
Yeah, that's
row.
a good point. Bad
I'm
weather.
going to sit in the house at 3:30 and watch something I couldn't care less about. No, I was at the beach for 5 hours. But
why didn't you get into the Olympics at all?
I never do. It does not. I could not possibly care less about the. There's nothing in the Olympics I care about. Zero.
Swimming, nothing, huh? Track and field, nothing.
No. No, team
sports.
Wow,
I'm surprised.
What, golf and tennis? No, but for what? I don't. I have no rooting interest. I'm not a go root because it's a U.S. I have no rooting interest.
I agree with that. That's a waste of time.
I have no rooting interest. I'm not a.
You're unpatriotic if you don't root for an American.
Fine, I'm unpatriotic. I don't care. I don't. I have zero rooting interest.
Wow, I'm surprised. I thought you had a little interest. None.
Nobody winning or like the USA basketball team winning or losing has no impact on my life. I could not possibly care less.
Are you surprised it did so well?
No, because here's why I think it did well, because I know 30 million a day. I think NBC found the right formula from this standpoint. They put everything. Now, this is from what I know, because I didn't watch it, but this is what I know from reading things. Everything was live during the day on Peacock.
Big plus. Or NBC.
And since COVID, there are millions of people now who work from home, who don't go to offices. 5 years ago, you couldn't watch the Olympics all day long in your house. You were at work. I work for Sports Illustrated. We don't even have an office. Everybody's home. Sirius, what are you guys, in the office 3 days a week?
About that, 2 days.
Since COVID, there are millions and millions of more people who are home. So they hit the perfect formula. Put everything live during the day on Peacock.
And then do a highlight deal at night.
And do a highlight deal at night. Because those people at night, they didn't see anything during the day. The people watching at night are the people who are at work all day,
or the audience that is not that wrapped up in making sure they he or she watches Hopper win the 1500 meters.
Right.
So they catch it at night. Yeah, right. I think you're right. And plus the fact you couldn't avoid it. I mean, it was on basically 7 to midnight every day
for
13, 14 days. But they did do really well. I give them credit.
I'd bet you money at least half the people who watched at night had no idea it wasn't live and didn't happen during the day.
I watched a combination. Sometimes I watched it in the day, then I didn't feel I had to watch it at night. Sometimes I didn't see that much in the day, so I watched it some at night. I did not watch a lot the last 3-4 days.
Right.
As you said, the weather was good. I'm not going to cooped up watching the marathon or women's basketball or men's basketball. So I didn't watch a lot Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm totally with you on that. I kind of lost interest a little bit late, but the ratings kind of seem like they held. Yeah. They seem like they held.
The funniest thing about, to me, I don't want to get into this, but to me, the funniest thing about the rating was after the opening ceremonies, all these people said that I'm going to watch the Olympics. They're going to boycott the Olympics.
Nobody boycotted.
30 million every night.
The Last Supper. Listen, you want to argue that all you want. I agree. You know, maybe in bad taste, maybe they shouldn't have allowed that, the Olympic Committee. But the bottom line is nobody did not watch the Olympics because of the opening ceremony.
Well, but that also shows you, and this is, I wrote this in my column about you recently, and I actually talked to the serious PR guy, Andy Fitzpatrick, about this. This is the benefit you have from not being on social media. The Last Supper thing, that was a social media thing. People in the real world, they're not going to sit there and say, I'm boycotting the Olympics. No one was worked up. The people who worked up about it are the people who are on Twitter and can tweet about it. It doesn't translate to real. Real life is not social media. So that's why.
I didn't see it live. I was aware of it. But right away, they had 29 million people watch the opening ceremonies. That's all you need to know.
Right, right. But you still managed to get yourself in trouble during the Olympics.
I did. Well, thanks to you.
Renee Stubbs was not my fault.
And I'm 100% right, by the way.
100% correct.
I don't care. I mean, that was
that pissed me off. That pissed me off.
But the thing about Tirico, I did kill NBC with the IMAX thing. But I did it on First Take in a fun way. We had Tirico lined up. Then something didn't occur. I don't know if he was aware of it. Maybe it was PR. Bottom line is, it got a little sticky because, remember, my agent represents Mike too. So it got a little sticky and he was in Paris. But the bottom line, when he came on, he was good last week.
He was very good. Tirico's great.
He's a great guy. He's a tremendous guy. And he gave me a good 30 minutes. He gave you a good feel of his day.
Right.
He brought up the Last Supper. He brought up, why NBC has been so successful with this. How much he's enjoyed it, that came through. He's going to regret leaving Paris, which he's probably doing today. This is not for the person who cares about who the Nickelback is on the Bengals, which I thought was an interesting point. So he was very, very good. But that did cause me, thanks to you, and I was in West Palm Beach with my child there getting upset.
Yeah.
Thanks to you, more hot water for Christopher Russo. Thanks to you.
Listen, you're the one who said it. I did.
Well, you're the one who makes it. I say things and nobody picks up on it, and you throw it out there and the world finds it. So you are as guilty as anybody in that.
But here's what I found. The reason I found it funny was because I have that dilemma booking this podcast. Like, I write something in my column ripping some announcer, and then, you know, a month later I got to try to get him on the podcast, and then the PR guy's like, why would we put him on? It's not easy.
It's very tricky. Now, who are you going to put on? Who are you going to put on the next couple of weeks for the football season?
Herb Street's coming on next week.
Boy, we never get him. What a job. Go ahead.
And then
you get people we don't get. Who else?
Well, so you get people I don't get. That's how it works.
Aikman and Herb Street. That's pretty good. Who else are you going to have? That's a good one.
I try to book it like a week in advance. I don't know. When we get closer to football, I'm going this is going to come out Wednesday. So as this comes out, Wednesday, CBS has their
they got a big seminar.
Media day. So right. I'll see Ian. Maybe Nance will come on, Buck, whoever. You know, I'll reach out to one of those people.
A couple of weeks and
Herb Street to get the college football season started, and then we'll get an NFL guy for the NFL season
because the season starts in college. You know, Florida State plays Georgia Tech in Dublin next weekend, I think, right?
Yeah.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Other thing that happened was you gave, did I have any influence in you adding Peter Schrager to your show? Because you guys are going to be great together.
Yeah, you definitely, I did a podcast with him in the Super Bowl. He was excellent. Eddie Erickson, knew him, and he had Lombardi for us, and that was a home run from Eddie. He liked him too. I know he's a fan. I was a little worried about, don't forget, the NFL Network is moving to California. And I didn't know if he was going with him. So
he's doing a little of both.
Yeah, a little of both. Peter thought, Mr. King thought it was a great deal. So, I think it was a combination. I don't watch the Good Morning Football that much. I'm familiar with Peter based on that podcast. I know he's a fan. I have spoken to him 2-3 times here this summer. He'll be on Tuesdays at 4:00. He'll be in studio. We'll put him in studio on the 10th. I believe that's a Tuesday as well in September. And he can't do it the week before because he's going to be in LA that week. As you said, he's going to go back and forth. We need a good spot there. You know, that's important. King was great and we're going to miss King. So Peter's got big shoes to fill. But I think everybody says he's going to be wonderful. He knows the game. So we'll have some fun there.
Knows the game, knows all the people around the game, talks to everybody. And he's very funny. He's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that.
That's good. Schrager. I mean, Danielson's going to do some Big Ten games, CBS. So he's going to join us again. Sims is back, despite the fact that he's not with CBS. I don't know what he's going to do during the. I don't even know Phil's schedule in the course of the year. Right. We'll have to find out about that. I know he's doing Giants preseason, but I don't know. But, is he doing anything on?
I haven't heard a thing.
Giant football or anything like that.
Haven't heard a thing about Phil except for the preseason games. I haven't heard a thing.
Yeah, well, he will be with us 4:30s there on a Friday. So, as you said, you get 5 or 6 on Ira's back. You get 5 or 6 spots. That keeps the week moving as far as the shows are concerned.
All right, since we're on this topic of spots and football coming up, give me what you think Brady will be like as Fox's lead analyst.
I know everybody swears he's going to be great. Work ethic. I had Al Michaels on a couple weeks ago, and Michaels said Brady called him to learn how to work with a play-by-play guy, which tells you that Brady's obviously taking it very seriously. I just don't know. Quarterbacks are very friendly with each other, and he didn't retire 20 years ago. I just don't know if Brady is going to go out there and be critical of a guy who stinks. And that will be, and Burkhardt is not a critical, I love him, but he's not a critical broadcaster who is going to, pinpoint a horrific error by some player in a big spot. And so sometimes the analyst needs a little prodding by the play-by-play guy to go after somebody. So let's just say Deshaun Watson in week 1 or Prescott. All right, he's a better example. Let's say Prescott in week 1 is awful. Is Brady going to bring up the idea? Maybe he's somewhat distracted by his contract, trying too hard, or is he going to be a little light on Prescott? He played against him, and anything Brady says is going to, everybody's going to be wrapped up in it. So if he does something, it's going to be highlighted all over America.
Right.
So from that standpoint, what he says is going to have a lot of weight, and he knows that, so he might be a little pull back his punches a little bit. That is the one thing I would be interested in. Well, Brady, when a quarterback stinks, tell it like it is and tell us, boy, this is a horrific performance by this particular QB. We'll see.
Can I give you a quote from Tom Brady on this very podcast?
You had him on recently back in June. You had him on in
middle of June. So let me give you this quote from Tom, and I want to get your take on it. I asked him, I said, what's your biggest concern going into broadcast? And this is Tom's quote here. The important part for me would be, how do I continue to make it fun for people to enjoy the viewing experience? Sometimes I get a little too serious because I see myself as quarterback Tom Brady, as opposed to let's enjoy a great game of football Tom Brady. Sometimes I become a little too critical. So I'm trying to make sure I have the right tone. I'm very specific of how I think the game should be played. I want to see the game grow and evolve.
Yeah, it sounds a little pom-pom-ish for me. I want to see the game. His job is not to evolve the game. His job is to go out there on the Sunday afternoons at 4:25 with Burkhardt and tell us why, you know, Bryce Young has not developed. And, you know, if he doesn't think that, you know, I'll give you, I'm just using him as an example, that Young is not going to be a big player, he's got to tell us that. And right. I don't know if he will. We'll have to wait and see. Everybody swears by him. Everybody does not doubt how good he's going to be. I think Aikman's the best out of all of them myself.
I agree.
I don't know. You know, I love Aikman's presence in the booth. Him and Buck. Buck's not afraid to knock anybody if it deserves to be knocked.
Yep.
You know, Burkhardt is a, you know, he's a very good broadcaster, but he can be, in my opinion, this is just how I feel about it. I don't know if he's that critical. He's a little, you could make an argument, he's a little soft. And as a result of that, you know, whether he is going to be prodded by Burkhardt to say, boy, he is awful, what a terrible performance, or get on a, you know, a player, you know, he commits a stupid personal foul penalty, yells at an official, are they going to go out there and they're going to say that on the air? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, Fox likes to be, you know, appeal to the younger audience and, you know, all the high, you know, all the nonsense with, you know, technical stuff and everything else. Do the football game. People who are watching have bets on the game. That's their favorite team. They got fantasy involved. Do the football game. And if, you know, if Prescott or if CD, how about if CD Lamb is awful in week one? He hasn't practiced. He hasn't been in camp. Is he going to say, you know what, this is what happens when you're...
Oh, I think Tom definitely
would
say that.
We'll see.
I think,
and this is the turn. We'll and also say this. CD Lamb let his team down by missing all our training camp and not being ready to play in week one. Is he going to say
He might not go that far, but we'll see.
But that's what he needs to say.
Well, what
if Lamb got six passes in week one and he has three catches for 15 yards and they lose, is Tom going to say, you know what, this is what happens when you miss 6 weeks of training camp?
I think he'll say it.
And he was selfish in doing so. Will he say that?
Well, what analyst would?
No analyst. You're probably right.
On the heels of Brady, are you interested to see Bill Belichick as a media personality?
No,
he's got like 87 jobs now.
No, everybody's got Pat McAfee, who paid him $1 million, didn't he?
He's going to be on. I don't know about that. I don't know about the money, but he's got McAfee.
Paid him $1 million, and Rogers gets paid $1 million too.
Right. He's going to be on Manning.
He's doing a Channel 11 thing, and they do CW 11 on the pre.
Yeah, inside the NFL. And he's doing the Manning cast every week for the in the first quarter.
He's doing the Manning cast every week first quarter.
In the first quarter of the game with Peyton and Eli.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, in the first quarter of the game, he's doing it all year in the first quarter?
Yes.
10 weeks there, Ron, he's going to be on the 10 weeks. Wow.
Yes.
I'd be more into that than the other two things. I don't watch the preview shows with the Inside the NFL. I don't watch that or Showtime.
Yeah.
You know, McAfee, that's going to be unavoidable because it's noon, it's ESPN. So what he says will be, you'll find it. Somebody put the clip out.
Yep.
He's got a lot more personality than you think he does. Well, he'd be critical. I mean, he wants a job. He wants to coach. But I'm a little surprised he's out there so much. Maybe it's because he wants to make sure his name's in the circle here so when he can get a job at the year's over. Because if he didn't want to have a job, why would he take these three jobs? If he didn't want he wants to, you know, break down the Panthers and the Bucks on a Friday on CW 11.
He probably does, knowing him. I mean, you know.
Maybe. I think he still wants to coach, and I think he knows the best avenue to get back into it.
Yeah. Let me go to First Take here for a sec. You know, Stephen A. has a contract situation going on right now, and the money he wants is exorbitant. I'm not saying he's not worth it, but, you know, I don't know if ESPN's just going to quickly write that check. Do you ever discuss what's going on with him behind the scenes with him? Do you guys get into that conversation?
You know, I try not to get too involved with it. I ask for an occasional recap. And when I see stories on Stevie, you know, Hollywood Reporter just did a big one. The Wall Street Journal did one. I ask, is this accurate? You know, I mean, and, you know, sometimes he tells me and sometimes he doesn't. I would be overall, I mean, I would be shocked if he left.
Well, the only way he leaves is if ESPN doesn't want to pay him that money.
So from that standpoint, I think that he is great on there. I think the one thing that, you know, he may not want to be pigeonholed doing sports. You know, he wants to go out there and do a lot of different things. That's why the podcast comes in handy. Yeah. And he may not want to go in there every day for 5 days, breaking down, you know, doing lists with quarterbacks and all that. But I would be absolutely floored. Everything for him, to me, stems from ESPN. He's on there every day for 2 hours. He gets great ratings. It's his show. He's the boss. He's a great entertainer. He knows how to deliver the goods. He knows how to produce an opinion. And I think everything that he does is sort of fueled by that, you know, General Hospital, podcast, and everything else. And I think leaving that would be tricky. And I think on the other side, if you're ESPN, you've built your whole platform on daytime television plus the NBA. I mean, you love the NBA and you got more NBA. Who's the best NBA guy out there? You got the football, you got Stephen A. That show's a huge show. You got all the people who go through that show, whether it's Marcus Spears or you know, or Ryan Clark or Dominic Foxworth. So, and it's all because of that show. And if he's not there, that's not going to be the same. So they need him too. Were they going to squibble over $2 million a year?
Well, I don't know if it's that.
I haven't spoken to him in about, he's been away. I haven't really spoken to him in a couple of 3 weeks, maybe. I would be shocked if this doesn't, now they might take it to the last day. But I would, when is the contract up anyway? Next year sometime?
Yeah.
I would be shocked. Wouldn't you be shocked if they don't reach an agreement?
I wouldn't be shocked because I'll tell you why. Because the media game in this day and age is so completely different than the way we used to know it. With, he can have five outside companies making him offers these days who have more money than ESPN. I don't know whether it's a streaming service. Well, like you said, he wants to branch out into non-sports.
They won't have the notoriety, though, maybe, if he leaves ESPN. They are still the biggest one. More people watch that than will put it on, you know, Peacock to watch it on that, or Netflix or something like that.
Right. I agree. But if it's strictly a dollar amount he wants, he could be better off going to outside sources. Because there are outside sources who have bigger pockets than ESPN.
Stevie is too smart. I think he does understand. I haven't asked him. He understands, I'm assuming, the power of ESPN. They have the NBA. They have the NBA.
Right.
They got the finals.
Right.
I mean, they're the number one partner for the NBA. You know that better than anybody. And that's his favorite sport. He loves the personalities in the NBA. He leaves ESPN. He'd lose a little of that. Yeah. And he's too bright not to understand that. I would think he'd stay.
Yeah, I agree with you about the power of ESPN. I mean, look at McAfee. McAfee was doing great on his own, but where did he want to end up? And where did he end up? ESPN. Peyton Manning does his Manning Cast. Where did they put it? ESPN. I mean, that's still the place to be if you're a big sports figure.
I also wonder...
I mean, I'm a different, I don't, at some point he's got to get tired of 5 days a week screaming and yelling about Dak Prescott. Like, I don't know how many years he can do that. I don't know how he does it now. I mean, it's got to be annoying at some point that this is what you do every day.
They do pound the LeBron, the NBA, the Cowboys.
Any of the topics.
It's probably a little overdone. I would agree with you on that.
Right.
I think at times I might be a little better off branching off and do some different things, but you know, they have the ratings. They know more about the ratings than I do.
Is he very on top of the ratings? Is he like,
oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They all are.
He knows what's going on.
And
every
I have
day.
To admit, I've been into it too. I texted all the guys there on Wednesday, how we're doing. And I like to know how we're doing between 11 and 12. And you're going to say, why would you care? Because that's what that Mad About segment is.
Right.
And so if I can help him maintain, they always going to do good at 10 o'clock in the morning when he comes on.
Right.
And of course, in a football season, you're going to do great. So if I can maintain a decent rating between 11 and 12, my ego comes in too, and I say, hey, maybe they want to watch Manabout. And they can break that baby down 15 minutes and a half hour and everything else. They get it at 4:30 in the afternoon the next day. So I can, when they're on ESPN 2 and it's ESPN. So I'm on top of that too. You all got some egos.
Oh,
you want to know how many people listen to these podcasts, don't you?
Goddamn right. Now listen, when you give me, what has been the mad about you that you feel like got you the most reaction? Or that you even like, oh wow, everybody saw this one.
I think the thing that got me the most reaction that it really wasn't mad about was the gummies.
Oh my God, yes, because I did tweet that one. Wait, let me just say this. When you had your Bar A show 2-3 weeks ago and I was there.
Right, you showed.
And
yep.
you got on stage, you were dancing. I took a right. video, I put it on Twitter. Every response was, how many gummies did he have? How
I didn't
many
take one. I can't take
it. I know. No, I know. But now you're the gummy man. You're known as the gummy man.
I think when I said that last September, it wasn't during the Mad About.
It was like you were setting up a college football Saturday because your wife was away.
Because right. my wife was away.
Right.
I think when I did that, you know, for some reason that resonated. When I did the G Squared a couple weeks, about a month or two ago, when my wife went to Ireland.
Right.
And I did G Squared golf and gummies.
Yeah.
I think that resonated. I think the time that I brought up the airline Delta and I was flying back from St. Martin. And I couldn't believe how jammed the plane was. People bringing their tuna fish sandwiches and their black coffee on the plane. You're using all the luggage.
Yeah.
That one seemed to they can say it's relatable.
Let me tell you something. You've made me not want to get on airplanes. Every time you go on an airplane, you have a story. My buddies wanted to go to Vegas and I'm like, I don't know if I can get on a plane for 6 hours based off of what Dog says every time he goes away.
And I had an issue last Sunday. I came back. I told you the plane got, you
booted the old lady.
And I kicked the old lady back. I take Molly's advice on that. You know what Molly's told me?
What's that?
She said, no, it's not always possible.
Right.
She said, do a personal Mad About one a week. People get into that. So don't always break down, you know, the idea that, kick a field goal and why go for two and, try to come up with a personal one each week. Now that's not that easy.
Right.
Because, you know, what happens to your but that's what I try to come up with. So I try to come up with one that hits home to the average fan because that segment is for the average fan, the average fan putting that on what you want to make that relatable. And, you know, they may not care so much that Doug Peterson kicked a field goal or didn't kick a field goal in the Jacksonville, Carolina game. What? Who cares? But they care about Rob with the bets out in Vegas. They care about air travel. They care about gummies. They care about me kicking an old lady out of her seat. They care about Stephen A. getting late to work when he's running down the runway and he gets late.
Right.
They care about promotion of his book, you know, Straight Shooter. So they can relate to that. So I try to come up with one of those a week where I do that.
Right. That first one with the gummies, every note of it was perfect because it was gummies and gambling.
That weekend, yeah.
Marcus Spears sold it perfectly.
He's a great guy, by the way. Great guy. Yeah, he sold it perfectly, and I think that was relatable to a lot of people. And you know, it's funny. I did that on the way in there. I told him what I was going to do on the production call, just as casual. And then Molly brought it up on TV on purpose.
Right. Right.
And here's the thing: how many people on Disney can get away with saying that?
Not many. Not many. Well, that's who was I was talking to someone about you recently, and I said he's one of the few people that can get away with almost anything. There's still one or two things you're not going to.
Oh,
you're
going to not almost. Right. A couple little things.
Almost anything. And it also speaks to the fact, and this goes back to re-signing with Sirius for 3 years. Are you surprised in any way about your relevance still? Like, it's not just that you're an entertainer, it's not just that. You've been this historical figure, you're a Radio Hall of Famer. Here you are, 2024, and you're still relevant. That's not easy to do.
Well, I've been lucky, you know. As you said, I don't think about it too much with the radio. I just go on there and I do the shows, and you know that's and that's what I do. And I don't worry so much of who's listening, who isn't listening. I just do what I want to do. And hopefully I can sell it as a salesman that if I care about it, you should care about it. So that's what I try to do there. And I've had a lot of people like you help me because they may not hear what I say or even see an ESPN thing. Or even I got on Reinsdorf last week with the White Sox and that was posted. You know, so I have a lot of media people. And you are the number one guy, but there's, you know, a couple of others, Awful Announcing, and, you know, there's who want to make sure, boy, did you hear this? Let's get this out there. So I don't think a lot of people necessarily see it or hear it live, but because I have some media friends who are still interested, they pick it up from that perspective.
But
I do think the madabouts is probably the most important thing I do every week. Would you agree with that?
Maybe for you because it's television and there's no animal like television. But I know for me, when I do tweet out your clips, for instance, and let me just say this, if people didn't hit the like button or the retweet button when I tweet a video of you, I wouldn't do it. Like people, I mean, I probably would, but there's always a reaction to it. You know, the thing even last week, like you talked about how Molly told you to throw in a personal thing. This was on the radio, not on TV, but on Sirius. Do you know the reaction people had when I posted the clip of you describing setting up Colin's apartment?
Colin told me.
Well, Colin even...
I mispronounced one of the words. And they were wrapped up.
Cutlery. You didn't do well with
and
cutlery.
I said cutlery, whatever I said. Right. So that was a big... People were paying attention
to because it's non-sports.
They love that.
You botched a word. You talked about going to Target, pushing the cart, but people you paid for everything. You didn't have a chair to sit on.
Oh, that drove me crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a perfect clip. And I'll tell you, too, when I do tweet out the videos, forget what goes on Twitter. You know how many texts I get from people in the business? He's awesome. That clip's so hysterical. That guy's the best. I mean, there is a relevancy there. So if you weren't relevant, I wouldn't do it either.
And you do that just on the radio? You do that just on the radio?
Well, I'll do first take stuff, too, sometimes. But the problem with the first, here's the problem I have with the first take thing. The segment is long, and on Twitter, you can only post like a 2 minute and 20 second video.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
So that's why a lot of the times I can't post this stuff, or even, you know, so.
So you do it on the radio, you take a 2 minute clip and
radio, I get a little snippet, but people loved you moving Colin into Whisper. When you were at that Bar A show, you interviewed your son Colin. You were grilling him like you were grilling, like, you know, some coach who botched it.
Yeah, I know.
Play.
Trying to teach him how to do his show.
Ripping a show he did on New Year's or whatever it was.
No, he was bad that day. He was.
See, that's your son.
That first half hour following Nets and Nuggets on a Friday night before Christmas. That was a rough one, but he hung in there pretty good. He got through it okay.
Now tell me, as a radio Hall of Famer and then a dad who's got a son going into the talk radio business in West Palm Beach, Florida. Do you have to be careful in giving him advice? How you give the advice? Don't push him too much. Check in on him. What's going on? Did you do this? Like, is it a balancing act?
Yeah, I've talked to him every day. You know, he's doing these practice shows. He's going to work with a partner, Tony Rizzo's kid, the guy in Cleveland, who's a great guy, Tony. And Mike Rizzo is his son, and he is down doing these shows with Colin. So they're both going to do it together. And I said, Colin, listen, if anybody tells you how to work with a partner, it's me. I did it for 2 decades. Always make sure, and I didn't always do this, and that's why Mike and me had a lot of problems at times. Right. You know, you're doing a show with another person. You got to make him look good. You got to set him up occasionally. Both set each other up. You try not to be adversarial. People don't want to necessarily, you know, me and Mike are different because it's, you know, it added to the juice.
Right.
And you got to make sure at 22 years of age that, you know, you two seem like you're having fun and, you know, getting along. And you got to go in there and not take yourself too seriously. So I have given him, he's done some practice shows, give him a little rundown. I told him he should go to the Miami game in Florida on August 31st because he starts 3 days later and he's never been to a game in Gainesville. Now that's tricky. Tickets, getting up there, it's a long drive. I told him he should go to that Jacksonville game against the Dolphins maybe. It's week one of the NFL. He's a Jaguar fan. He's down at Miami Dolphin camp today. With some people from the station. So, I mean, he's you know what he's had the biggest problem with?
What's that?
He is trying to find things to do. Remember, he's going to be on 4 to 6.
Right.
So, you know, what's for him to, and he's not on yet.
Right.
So what's he do? Get to the radio station at 8 o'clock in the morning and sit there for 8 hours?
Right.
How many people can you talk to? He's been there for a week already. So I think he's trying to figure out how to handle his day.
Right.
Because, you know, there's
so he's on 4 to 6. That's a two. Yeah, that's an interesting time
and there's
slot.
No correlation, none, between arrival time and quality of the show.
Right.
So you can get there at 3:59 and do a great show, and you can get there at 9 a.m. and do a lousy show. There is no correlation. And he's going to have to figure out a way that, you know, he finds that proper balance between making sure he's into it and he's sharp, but not getting stale because he's sitting there for 8 hours waiting to go on the air.
Yeah. I wouldn't get there too early. What is that? Yeah, yeah. There's no reason to get there too early. You're just going to drive yourself nuts.
And he's going to do something on Sunday mornings, some sort of NFL pregame. Right. I think he's going to do something on Friday night with high school football. So I think he'd be kept busy on the air, but I'm on top of him. I mean, I give him credit. You know, a kid went down there by himself. No, he had his parents help him financially and get him organized a little bit. But still, he went down there by himself. Never been a day in his life in West Palm. Apartment.
Yeah.
You know,
That's why he's a little bored now, too. He's got to get used to it, find out where everything is, what's going on, meet some people.
That's hard for a young. He's 22.
Very
years
hard.
He doesn't have anybody. He's finished at 6 o'clock. Where's he going? You know, he's by himself.
Right.
Yeah, at least at the moment. So, I mean, that's kind of reminded me of my days when I went to Jacksonville for the first time back in 1983.
Yeah, it's not easy. But, you know, and if he had a longer shift, maybe it'd be a little, but 2 hours.
I agree. 4 hours. Yeah. You know, then it's, you know, builds up more of your day, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I saved this for last because I don't want to get into it too much, but you've dipped your toe into the political stuff a couple of times here it was the debate and then when Trump got shot.
Twice. Yeah, I did it twice.
Right. Well, first let me ask you this. What do the serious execs think when you do that?
You know, I haven't heard from the ultimate bosses. I think the Steve Tories of the world get very nervous and you try to play it right down the middle. But in both sequences, I don't know how it was avoidable. The Biden thing was so bad on that Thursday night. I'm on the next day. And as you said, this is the month of June. There's nothing going on. Right. Trump was it July 10th or 11th, whenever it was. It's a Saturday night. I'm on Monday. How do you not at least address that? I mean, you have to address it. That women can break down the Yankees and the Red Sox. I mean, you got to at least address it. Right. And so those two were, I felt, a little unavoidable. You know, one during the week changed the whole presidential dynamic. He dropped out, as it turns out, because of that.
Right.
And the Sunday thing with Trump, I mean, you know, I thought that was an iconic photograph. We don't fight, fight, fight.
Right.
And so I did bring it up. It was only an hour each time. I try to play it right down the middle. I'm sure I'll have to do another. I'm sure when they debate in September. No, I have football to do that. So I have more to talk about outside of the debates.
Right.
But, you know, they're going to debate there in September.
Well, they're smart. The one area politics is smart in is they are going to avoid the NFL. All those debates are going to be on Tuesdays and Wednesdays because they don't want to go up against the NFL.
Smart. The NFL doesn't want the debate to go up against them either. It goes both ways.
Right? So if they debate on a Tuesday, Wednesday, you'll probably have to talk about it.
Because Wednesday's a dead day in the NFL.
Right.
There will be, and it will be a close race. It's going to go right down to the wire. If anybody thinks Trump's going to walk away, I'd make him the favorite, but only slightly.
Well, he's not. The betting markets now, I think, have her like at -120. I think that's what the betting market.
I would still make him a slight favorite because you know why? Because we know what he is. It's not going to change too much. She could go either way. Debate performance, answers questions from the media. She could go in a couple of different directions. She's a little bit more fluid with that number could be. And she might be a big favorite by the time we get to November. Who knows? But she might have a couple of bad days here that would hurt her. Trump, you know. Trump is Trump. You know, what's going to change with Trump? He's going to beat her up in a debate, and they're going to yell and scream at each other. We know he does that anyway. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to have his fan base no matter what the case is. So I think it's going to go right down to the wire, and it's also going to go down probably to those three or four states with the 30, 40,000 in each state, and which way they go, Wisconsin, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Where do they go? Do they go for Trump or they go for Harris?
Right. Two things on this. One, I found it fascinating as one of your daily listeners. I don't think it was the debate. I think it was when he got shot. You had a ton of calls that day, begging you to talk about it.
Oh, I know. I didn't do it at 5 o'clock.
Right. Here you are, a sports talk show host, all-timer, and your callers are begging you to talk about Trump getting shot.
I think it was at 5. We did the debate maybe at the top of the show.
Right.
I
yes. The debate was the top. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting.
The other thing, I'm going to kiss your ass one last time before this is over, because I do mean this, and it's important for me to say this. Every single day in your daily, not your daily life, the general you, your daily life, when you are with family, friends, even strangers, and the topic of politics comes up, everybody tries to say, oh, I'm right down the middle. I'm right. I call it fair. I'm right down the middle. Meanwhile, no one is. You might be the only, from listening to everything you have said on the radio about politics, you might be the only person I've ever heard who I actually believe is right down the middle based of how you cover things. I've heard you rip Biden. I've heard you rip Trump. I've heard you praise. I've heard you, it's very difficult to do, and it's a shame more people can't be that way. But you are down the middle, which I think that's why your audience wants you. Now, I really don't want to hear people talk about politics because it's so ridiculous and depressing and you're never going to get anywhere. I actually like it when you do it because I do think you are down the middle.
Well, I'll say this on down the middle thing. The idea that we're going to go to communism if Harris is elected is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
And the idea that the world is we're going to lose stopping a democracy if Trump is elected is also asinine. Did we stop being a democracy when he was elected the first time? I mean, did America? I know you can argue you didn't like how America went. Supreme Court and, you know, the whole police funding with the police and all. But I mean, you know, we're still generally speaking the same place we were when he was the president. So America's not going to collapse if he's elected. And we've had a lot worse presidents than the both of them. I mean, we didn't collapse with the Civil War, did we? Andrew Johnson almost got impeached. We didn't collapse then. FDR died in office. We didn't collapse then. Woodrow Wilson didn't do anything the last year and a half of his presidency because he had the strokes. We didn't collapse then. We didn't collapse during the freaking Depression, did we? And Hoover and FDR. Right. So I don't buy the idea that we're going to cease to be in America that we know with no matter who gets elected. I don't buy that.
Would be my pushback. I really don't want to get into this, but this would be my pushback on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
My only pushback on that would be, is I do think he's the only president who has been responsible for changing the tone of the country in politics. And I, from this standpoint, I'm an old school. I'm old school. So I want the president of the United States to America to have some gravitas. I want him to be above. I don't want him on Twitter. I don't want Obama on Twitter. I don't want Biden on Twitter. I want the president to be someone who I think like, oh, that's a person who's up here and I'm down here. He's an animal.
Yes.
He's an animal. I don't want the president to be an animal. That's my only thing.
He gets down and dirty. He gets in the gutter too much.
To me, I'm not talking about policy. Whatever you stand on, abortion, Ukraine, the border, I'm not talking about any of that. Because that goes both ways. You like both policies on both sides of that stuff.
I agree. That's a very good point.
I want the president to be someone who I don't think is a certifiable nut.
Well, here's the perfect example. And we'll leave you, you know, and as you said, people don't want to hear it.
Right.
What is he doing? Biden, you know, announces he's going to leave, drop out, and he kills him.
Right. Right.
Here's
that's my point.
A guy that has been who's given his, say what you want about him. You hate him. He's a lousy president. Fine. And we can evaluate his record all day. Let the historians do that, but we can evaluate his record all day. But he did give his freaking life to the United States from 1972 on.
Right.
He also had tragedy in his life with his wife and child who died in that car accident.
Right.
So, I mean, you say what you want about the Hunter, but I mean, he did have tragedy and he bounced back from that. And I think his heart whether you like his policy, is
generally
speaking in the right place.
Right.
I think he cares about the goodness
and
of
America. Can I just interrupt you? I felt that way. I felt that way about every president of my lifetime. I thought Obama was like that. I thought Bush was like that. I thought this is the first one who I think is an animal and doesn't really care about anybody.
Well, I mean, the fact that he can't let him leave the scene quietly and give him his day where he goes out there and, you know, even Biden, when Trump got shot, said, I'm going to call him. And he called him by his first name. Yeah, I'm going to call Donald.
Yeah.
Called him by his first name. Even Biden said when he became the president that Trump left him a great note in the White House. So even Biden has come at times, has tried to be, as you said, above the fray.
Yeah.
I was shocked. It really bothered me. Don, can you leave the man? Can you let the man for 24 hours on June, 6 months before the election, go out with a little grace and not pound him? He's the worst president. He should have left a long time ago. He stinks. Can you at least maybe lay low for a couple of days?
Just be presidential.
Even really
if it's an act, be a president. Act like a president. I don't care if you're corrupt behind the scenes. Just have some gravitas to you. Be above, you said it, above the fray, not below the fray.
He didn't do it that time. That bothered me.
All right, let's get light.
I'll be happy that election's over. We can move on one way or the other.
I think there's going to be a lot of sports people get in trouble in the next few months. That's for sure. Because they're going to
Because they're going to have opinions. Yeah.
It's going to be very, very, very heated. Very heated. And the country is as mad and as angry as it's ever been. Everybody hates each other. And I think it's going to get
Where sports can bring us together. Hopefully it does. Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, you know better than anybody. You've been on here a long time. You know better than anybody. Everybody from a variety of my kids, everybody, they're going to be wrapped up with that start of the NFL season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Once,
I can't wait.
Once they get right around Labor Day weekend,
they
play the fantasy, you know, you and I with the Jets over and all that.
Yep.
That is going to get people at least, because football is the one thing that can combat presidential hatred, because everybody's in it. They get 110 million people watching the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Taylor Swift's at week one on Thursday night with the Chiefs and the Ravens. That's going to get people's attention. So once the NFL starts, give the NFL credit for that. They have a little healing agent in them. That will help.
I think Taylor's going to be on tour, though. I don't think she'll be there week one.
Oh, she's not there week one?
Well, she's been doing her tour overseas.
I know, in Vienna. We know what happened in Vienna. Yeah.
I'm surprised that didn't get more attention. That story's insane. That story is insane.
Kid gets radicalized.
Three of them. And it's kids, teenagers, 18, trying to do this.
And she is. I don't know.
I give her credit. I know she's young. I mean, we'll end it on this because I know you like the music. I know she's young, but my God, the amount of shows she does.
Oh, I know she's out there constantly.
It's unbelievable.
Christmas Day.
Right.
No eggnog and Christmas presents in my house. Christmas Day, I am finding a movie theater. The Complete Unknown, Bob Dylan. I'll be at that.
How's your wife going to feel about that?
She won't go, I guarantee you that. I'll figure out. I mean, the hell with football. On that.
So you're a big Dylan guy?
Well, how could you not get into 1961 and him going to Greenwich Village? How do you pronounce the actor's name? Timothée Chalamet?
Timothée Chalamet.
Chalamet. And I sent, you know who I did? When I saw the trailer, you know what I did? I sent the trailer to Stevie Van Zandt in Europe.
Right.
And he said, holy smokes. He actually sounds like Dylan. Got a chance to be pretty good because he's a huge music historian.
Well, the guy in the Elvis movie was great. He sounded
He was very good. I didn't like the movie so much, but he was good.
Right. What's going on with Bruce these days? Is he on tour still?
Yeah, Thursday in Pittsburgh starts again.
He had COVID, right?
Laryngitis in Europe. He missed some shows. I don't know.
Rod Stewart has COVID. That's what I saw. He canceled shows. He has COVID. You know what's amazing about the music business? If you look at the numbers of the tours, it's all the old people who make all the money on the tours. It's a fascinating.
Eagles. It's U2. It's Bruce.
I saw a thing the other day. You know the highest grossing tour of 2024 in the United States has been? Madonna.
Really?
Everyone from the 70s and 80s goes on tour. They sell out every building. the young people now, like Taylor Swift's, but like the question is in 20 years, like Madonna's been around, I guess 30 years. Is Taylor Swift selling out in 30 years?
No,
but the Rolling Stones go on tour, they sell out.
Oh, that's a good one. The Stones too. Yeah.
The Eagles, Billy Joel, Bruce, the tours is all old people. I don't, maybe young people don't like to go to concerts. I don't know what it is.
I think it may not be in their genes so much as it is in the older people.
Yeah.
You're right. Stones, huge. And of course, Billy, yeah, you're right. That's a very good point. I hadn't thought of that. Excellent point.
But now I always look at it at the end of the year, they do the charts of the top tours. It's all the old acts. All the old acts. And Taylor Swift.
He's going out for about a year and a half. He's been all over it. But he's in Pittsburgh. He's going to do Philadelphia, Baltimore.
Right.
He's still into it. So you got to go. He's 75 years old, too. That's not young.
Right, right. So what's left the rest of the summer before football starts?
So I got to take my kid to Loyola Marymount next week.
Okay.
Because he starts at Loyola Marymount.
Right.
I'm looking. My wife and I will take him out next week for that.
Any concerts in the next few weeks?
You know, I probably will go figure out a way to go see Springsteen somewhere. I will do that. I have, my golf course closed. It's closing next week because they're renovations. So that's going to kill the golf. I don't really know.
You read the Rogers book? You finished it?
I haven't finished. I'll finish it by tomorrow because he's on it for Wednesday at 4:00
PM. You were not a Seinfeld fan, right?
Not huge, no. No, I'm on a
Seinfeld. Best book I've read in ages, Michael Richards, the guy who played Kramer on Seinfeld.
Very good.
Well, beyond very. First of all, if you're a Seinfeld fan, it's a must read. You have to read it if you're a Seinfeld fan. And I think even if you're not, you could enjoy it because he's got a lot of family stuff there, dad, crazy stories, gets into Seinfeld, then gets into making that crazy money with Seinfeld, and then how hard his career was after Seinfeld because he's pigeonholed as Kramer. Then he has the incident where he uses a racial slur at a nightclub and how that killed his career.
Well, I'd be into that.
I think you would enjoy it even if you're not a Seinfeld fan. And if Eddie's a Seinfeld fan, I'm sure. Tell him he has to read the book. It's a must if you're a Seinfeld fan.
I want to know who's on next week. Oh, you got
Herb Street, and then after that, I'll get it. I'll get a big NFL person after that. Then we get into
good job today. We had a good time.
I appreciate all the time there.
Let me go do High Heat.
Oh, go ahead. High Heat, MLB Network, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, Sirius XM. First Take on Wednesdays with Stephen A. He is the Radio Hall of Famer, Christopher Bad Dog Russo.
Thanks, Doug. See you later.
All right, joining me now, as he does every week, for our Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. What's on your mind this week?
Oh, I got a couple of things. I actually have a take that I'm going to think you're going to agree with me. And I think anyone listening to this is going to get pissed off and they're going to call me names and tell me I'm an asshole and this and that. And I usually don't like to throw out takes for that reason, but I'll do this one just to see what the reaction is. So Saturday afternoon, I'm at the beach. And my friend Diesel, he knows I could not possibly care less about the Olympics. So sarcastically, he turns to me at one point while we're at the beach and he says, Team USA up by 6, are you nervous? So I'm like, it would be impossible for me to care less. And then I go, oh, wait, actually, I do have one question. Now, let's see if you can you guess the question I had for Diesel when he said that to me?
Yeah, what was the spread in the game?
Bingo. You know me so well. So he tells it. So I go, so what was the line? And he goes, 15. I go, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, in their last game, they were favored by 16. So everyone's going. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Team USA. Like, you go there, you got to beat who you play, you win the gold medal, like, all that's great. But, like, the carrying on and the fanfare and all this, because you win games as 15 and 16 point favorites against inferior opponents, is, I don't understand that. Like, Mike Greenberg on ESPN, Steph Curry's shot is the greatest shot in the history of basketball.
Oh, what? He hit a big shot in the Olympics?
I guess, yeah. Like,
how many did they end up winning by? Did they cover?
I don't think they covered. But they're 15 and 16 point favorites. What is, like, they're supposed to win that event. The team is built. They have LeBron, Curry, and Durant on the team. I don't understand the joy in, and you beat like a 15 point, like 16. I don't understand any of that. The reaction. I don't get it on any level.
In 1992, I got into the hype because I was a young kid, and those were mega stars for me back then. You know, the greatest team of all time, with Jordan and Ewing and, you know, all those guys. I didn't even care necessarily about the games. It was just the hype machine of the dream team. But since then, I could not care less.
If you're 16 point favorites in a semifinal and 15 point favorites in a final and you win, I don't understand the celebration as if, you know.
The story would be if they lost. That's the story. If they lost, not as you can't get
right. But people were carrying on and on and on, and I'm just like, I don't understand.
Did you watch any of it? Like I watched five.
No, I was at the beach. Yeah, I was at the beach.
I'm saying in general the Olympics, because people seem to be
not one second of the Olympics was on my TV at any point.
People are into it. I'm not one.
No, good for them. Being into whatever you want to be into.
All right.
But I was at the beach. And actually, this was so much. I'll give you an event way better than the Olympics. This is one of the highlights of my. Well, there wasn't a betting career, but I'm at the beach, and my buddy Diesel has a son. His name is Alex. He's 10 years old, and he's one of these kids that's a nut job sports fan, like knows everything. Vikings right. fan, knows everything. So he goes, at one point we're at the beach, and the kid Alex goes, we're going to play a game. He goes, I'm going to give you and my dad clues, and you have to guess the NFL player. I'm like, you know what? I'm into this because I'm trying to get into the NFL here. I'm so out of the NFL loop. I'm like, okay. So he goes, I'm going to start with the conference. Then I'll tell you the division. Then I'll tell you the team. And then I'll tell you the player's number. And you have to guess the player's number. I'm like, all right, this is good. I can get into this.
All right. Fun game.
So he's like, AFC. AFC East quarterback, and we're screaming out Josh Allen, doing it that way. So after a few of them, like Diesel's like, do you have to win by two? He's like, I'm like, well, first one to 20. And I said it half kidding. And then we actually played till 20, which was long.
All right.
It ends up 19-19.
Wow.
And now he goes, NFC. So we start screaming NFC play. NFC East, now we're screaming Jalen Hurts, this. NFC East Cowboys, so now it's Dak Prescott, was screaming out CeeDee Lamb. And he goes, number 13. So I scream out Michael Gallup. And Alex and Diesel say to me, he retired. I had no idea Michael Gallup retired. That's why this game was good for me. Got me back into the football.
Right.
I go, I had no idea he retired. And then Diesel goes, Brandon Cooks. And his son goes, correct, you win 20-19. So I'm like, I had no idea Michael Gallup retired. And he's one of those guys who I always think is good, but he's never like great. And I'm like, I'm like, I had no idea he retired. I felt like he was in the league for like a couple of years. So I go on, I Google Michael Gallup retire. And I can't see the phone because I'm at the beach. I got to take my glasses off. And I see Michael Gallup, and he's wearing 13. I go, what is this? So now I Google Brandon Cooks. He was wearing number 3. So I go, hold on. I start screaming in the middle of the beach. This is ridiculous. We got to start up. And my Diesel's like, oh, it's like your coach's challenge. I go, exactly. We replay it. I get the next one. 20-19 victory. I win it.
Wait, so did Gallup retire?
Yes.
And Cooks is just not, he's not 13, he's number 3.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting.
And the final, I'm trying to remember, it was a good game. It got me, I got back into like the players and stuff. The final one was a good one. We both said it, I'm trying to think who it was. I don't remember the last one now, but it was a good game and I am ready for football. I am 100% ready for football.
I'm not there yet. Side note, will you read the Rodgers book?
I don't think so. I don't. He was on Boomer and Geo today.
That's what made me think of it. Yeah, and I didn't know the book comes out as we record this today on the 13th. I will definitely be listening to that.
He was good on Boomer and Geo. But again, this is the typical Aaron Rodgers bullshit. He spoke to Ian O'Connor, gave him quotes, gave him information. But it's an unauthorized biography. So now he can say, I had nothing to do with it. It's filled with lies. It's filled, like, well, why'd you talk to him? Is it like,
he didn't say it's filled with lies, did he?
No, but he will eventually, I'm sure, because as the stories come out. And
he was pretty good. He sold me on getting the book because initially I read it as, oh, it's
who sold you?
Rodgers. Because initially I read it, or I read the headline, you know, it says unauthorized biography. And I'm like, I don't know if I could get into that. And then Rodgers himself says he spoke with O'Connor. Right. There's stories that go back 20 years. He reached out to 500 people, probably talked to half of them. That's a lot of freaking people. Rodgers gave credibility, right. And O'Connor doesn't need credibility. He is a credible writer.
Right.
I mean, the fact that Rodgers did not dismiss it with those guys makes me want to read it or listen to it, at least.
Right. He's quoted. He gave them, but it's unauthorized. So
yeah, I don't understand that. It's just not.
It's a Rodgers move. Don't give me attention. Oh, then I get the attention. He didn't want the book to come out without him getting any attention. So he gave the quote so he can get the attention, and then he can say, "Oh, I had nothing to do." You know, it's unauthorized. Typical. Yeah. I don't have any. I mean, I guess he's just not a figure I'm interested in enough to read a book.
I love Rod. I think he's fascinating. I can't
like
wait
this. There's nothing about him I want to learn or know. So I don't know. Like, great quarterback, and that's it. Like, I don't know. And needs attention. There's nothing about him. The media game, don't give me attention. Here I am on Pat McAfee every week, the biggest radio show in the world. Do you watch The Bear?
No, not yet. I am going to, though.
I'm disappointed in season 3. Not as good as the first two seasons.
All on Hulu, right?
Yes.
I just subscribed for a free month. I'm going to try to get to that. And that's next on my list to bang those out.
What made you subscribe to Hulu?
You're going to love this.
Yeah, I knew.
I was trying to watch the A&E biography on Ted DiBiase. And I discovered I discovered that YouTube TV doesn't have it. So I go to figure out who has it. Where can I watch this? Hulu has it. I go to Hulu. I subscribe. Turns out, though, Hulu doesn't have it. It's Hulu TV. Like, you have to have the total package.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up, by accident, thinking I was going to watch the Ted DiBiase thing. I got Hulu for a month. Now I might as well make the best of it.
And you don't have Hulu. You have Hulu TV.
No. Whatever the streaming, not the full TV lineup.
Whatever the
regular streaming, service was.
Is what you wanted to watch the biography WWE Legends Ted DiBiase?
Yes.
Can't you watch? I'm on the A&E website. You can't. It looks like you can watch it here.
They some were locked. Maybe it was locked. I think this season is locked. They had like Ricky Steamboat on there. A couple other ones that I saw that I would watch that were from this year. You could go back and watch the older ones. So that if I wait a year, I'll be able to watch these. But I didn't want to subscribe just for that.
So I'm just confused. Reason. Did you sign up for Hulu or Hulu TV?
Which one's the lesser package?
Hulu.
That's the one I signed up for.
Okay. Because I thought you said you need Hulu TV, but you don't. You need Hulu.
To what?
To watch what you wanted to watch.
No, I think I needed Hulu TV. The cable, basically.
Oh, yeah, Hulu TV. Yeah.
Right. That's what I need to watch it. I don't have that. I signed up for regular Hulu.
You better make sure you cancel in a month. That's like one of those $60 a month or something.
I already did. Whatever the cheap one, it was like $9.99 a month or whatever that you get free for the first month. And it still didn't, give me what I needed. So whatever. We moved on. And then I started watching Sopranos reruns instead, which is great.
On Hulu?
No, I was looking to have it, was organizing my office and getting stuff ready around the house on my week off last week. And I'm looking to have some kind of background noise. And I love those A&E biographies for that.
Yeah.
So then instead I was like, fuck this. I'm not paying the $10 or whatever it is, or, $50 a month to get Hulu TV.
Right. But then you got the free trial.
Yeah, which doesn't have what I wanted. but it does have access to the Bear, which I did want to watch anyway. So let me figure that out.
Okay, so you went. Okay, so now I got it. You signed up for the cheap Hulu $9.99, and you never watched the Ted DiBiase then.
Right, and I haven't seen it.
All right, I got it. I got it. If you text me, I can give you login information that's mine that you can then watch the stuff.
Oh, around. Okay. I didn't know that.
All right. Got it. All right, and you have to watch the Ted DiBiase one is great. I watch.
Now wait,
all
why
of
do you have Hulu TV?
I don't. I have A&E. I have cable.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not you
cable.
With the fakakta streaming service, and then you don't get your channels, and then see, you cancel cable, and look what you're doing. You're there with Hulu, right?
It's missing like two friggin' channels. Of course, A&E is one of them.
Right, there you go. I always put my arm here, and Shelby keeps telling me to take it. I got to take it down. Yeah, the Ted DiBiase one is great. A&E does a great job with those. Any wrestling fan should watch them. I like to hear you struggling without cable.
Yeah.
And you'll start the Bear. That's
it's a minor. Yeah, I want to catch up on the Bear.
So the Bear season 3 is 10 episodes. So I was binging it over a few days, and when I got to season 4, episode 4, season 3, I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, who comes on? John Cena. He's in that one episode, and he was very good in that episode. Very good. So. But the season is not as good as 1 and 2.
Is it must watch? Because everybody keeps talking about it.
I love the first 2 seasons.
Okay.
Love them. Yeah.
How long the episodes?
Anywhere from like 25 to 35 minutes.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So then I can maybe get through a full.
Yeah.
I can get through the series. Where are we at? Three seasons? Only 3 seasons?
The third season dropped like in late June. Yeah.
So I should be able to finish that before my free subscription ends.
So now explain to me, are you like rewatching all of The Sopranos or are you just...
It started out as I was just on HBO, which by the way, I am removing. Actually, it might be done. Maybe the 16th. House of Dragons is over. I'm looking to just trim the fat a little bit. So I started watching some Curb back and I loved it. And then I was like, you know what? Let me watch The Sopranos. And I got through already. I'm through a season plus a couple episodes in season 2. It is so damn good. All these shows that we watch now and binge and talk about, they're good. They're fine. But when you go back and watch that show again, it's a reminder of how great it was. And I mean, it is great show.
It does not get better than The Sopranos. Go ahead.
I know. I was thinking about this. Is it because of us? I'm saying this seriously. Is it because of us being Italian? And like, not that my father was Tony Soprano, but there are parts of that show that I feel like parts of me were Chrissy. I feel like parts of my sister were Meadow. I could see my mother and father being, you know, again, not even close to the way that those people are, but the way that they, you know, Tony and Carmela talk to each other, the Italian family, like. Is that a part of why we think it's so great, or is it just actually great?
I think that enhances our experience. But whether you're Italian or not, it's the greatest show of all time. I think if you're Italian, it hits a little close to home in some of the family scenes, how they eat dinner. And I mean, listen, I can go through 20 scenes off the top of my head that like, I've sent to family members saying, you know, this is us. This is my dad. This is my aunt.
Yeah,
this is, you know, right, yeah, right. Without a doubt.
100%. It's like, holy crap. Yeah.
But you take that out. I think we'd enjoy it. I think we'd enjoy it the same. I think the Italian thing just enhances the enjoyment a little bit.
Either way, for a show that's what? Over 25 years old. I mean, I don't remember what the first year it started.
Right.
It's unbelievable how... Right. Great.
Right.
The writing, the acting, all of that stuff. God, it's so good.
But that's the issue. I mean, I think the issue is that people who make TV shows can't really make them today like that because they don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
That's what I think it comes down to. I mean, and that, you know, look, Seinfeld has episodes people have problems with. The Office has people have problems with. You know, so it's a you know, and now you get everything. You know, I remember too when Tom Brady had the roast, people were like, comedy, unfiltered comedy is, but no, it's not. Nothing's changed from the Brady roast. Like,
right.
You know, people can't, you know, say what you want to say. Can't be funny. You offend someone, it's over and it sucks.
Right.
But I do think, you know, that was the thing too. Sopranos on HBO, you knew when you put on HBO back then too, you were getting something edgier and grittier. Like those days are over too.
Right, because you get that everywhere now.
Right, exactly. What is going into your decision to cancel HBO?
Just the, I don't, it's unnecessary $10 a month. I'll pick it back up when something I want comes back on, but just trying to clean up a little bit. You know, it adds up $10 here, $5 here, $10, you know, that's it. No,
I want to do like, I want like a spreadsheet of like where you were and where you're at. So you canceled cable.
Yeah.
You got rid of HBO.
Yeah.
You got rid of some streaming services.
I don't know. Yeah, I think I did. I forget what we had, where we're at. But so all we watch, my wife watches Netflix. That's all we really watch, Netflix and YouTube TV. And even that's like three shows on actual TV.
What do you do with all your extra money?
There is no extra money. That's already gone. I'm trying to recoup.
Yeah.
The pool, the landscaping, stuff for the dog, stuff for my daughter. Like, yeah. Those extra, what, $50 a month? I mean, we're still trying to make up for it a little bit.
I know. There's this app that's going to come out soon with ESPN and TNT and I forgot what the other one is.
Fox
ESPN,
Sports.
ESPN, TNT. Oh, Fox, right. $43 a month.
Man, I don't understand that.
I don't either. Something we'll have to give at some point.
Yeah, it's going to circle back to the way that it was eventually.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the TV companies think. Like, what I'm beginning to believe more and more is I think we're going to come to a day where it's just going to be Netflix, Amazon, and Apple. That's what it seems like.
Well, I mean, those are the majority of things. I don't watch Amazon Prime shows. I mean, I love Amazon and use it all the time. But like Netflix and Apple are probably the two biggest things that I watch. As a family watch.
Oh, Apple. You would say Apple number two.
Yeah. There's a lot of shows on there that my wife and I get into.
Yeah. Sal's got problems. Sneeze. Bless you. There it is.
Oh, thank you. No cough button here.
No cough button on the podcast. I let the sneezes fly.
Sorry.
All right, Sal. You had a week off. It rained every day.
Yeah, almost. Our trip out east got canceled.
Any more time off before Labor Day and then football starts?
Yeah, final week of August.
You'll be off.
Labor Day. Yeah.
You'll be off.
It's basically opening day, the Tuesday after Labor Day for us is opening day.
Right. Yeah, everybody. It's coming. Yeah. I know. I just talked when I just had Russo on. I'm definitely betting the Jets over 9.5. I got to find two others to bet. I like to bet three totals for the NFL.
Did he give you any?
Well, he has $10,000 on the Jets over 9.5. I told him I'm going to join him. The only way they don't win 9.5 is if Rodgers gets hurt. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big if.
Oh, I'll take my chances to you. I mean, he's not an injury prone athlete. He doesn't have a history of a million injuries.
It is the Jets. It is Roberts. Like, I still have some concerns about it.
Well, that, yes.
What's the VIG on that?
I don't know.
-130. I'm going to take the over as well. I'm betting both the over and on Jets and Giants.
Speaking of the VIG, you know, I think I said last week on the pod that DraftKings didn't have the over-unders yet. And someone tweeted me, said they did. And then when I was at the beach with my buddy Diesel, we were checking them. You know, FanDuel, I think, is much better than DraftKings from everything I can tell. Because I like the interface of DraftKings better. But DraftKings, on a bunch of the totals, they didn't give you every number as an option. Usually, they give you every single number, and then they change the juice.
All right.
Some teams, like, they had 8.5 -150. So you go, okay, let me see 8. They don't have it. Well, let me see. And, you know, Diesel told me FanDuel has every number there is.
I'd like to go alter the numbers and get, you know, better odds.
Right, exactly. I got to look into FanDuel. I think I might have to ditch DraftKings and go to FanDuel.
Like, would you take the Jets at 10 if it were even money?
No.
So there's certain numbers, no.
Yeah, because if I don't want to have to win 11. I want to have to win 10. I think that's a big difference there.
You know? I got you.
Because even let's say Rodgers gets hurt, but you know it's a situation he misses 2-3 games. That could be a difference between 10 and 11.
That's fair.
So, all right. What else? That's it. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah.
I know
sure nothing else? We're good?
I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Enjoy your weekend.
Maybe next week. Maybe next week we'll have something else.
Okay. All right.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. All right, my many, many thanks to the Mad Dog, Chris Russo, Sal Licata, you for listening. If you missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Trina, get in the archives and check them out. We've had some great guests over the summer. And if you're not a subscriber, make sure you subscribe and leave a review on Apple. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.